Hi, I'm David Pearson, Executive Director of Shamit Education. As a formerly homeless American who learned database and web technology to build BostonHomeless.org, a resource of over 150 shelters and food programs that is maintained by our students, it was my pleasure in December of 2002 to visit Jamaica. I met with the Minister of Technology, Philip Paulwell, and others from the Education Ministry, the Information Ministry, as well as the Department of Corrections to train them in SkyBuilder's tools. I also trained approximately 15 Jamaicans on how to build their own web pages and websites. In January 2003 at Harvard Law School, the Berkman Center for Internet and Society discussed this question: can Jamaican music published by Jamaicans on the World Wide Web help economic development in Jamaica?
Shall we just begin?
Charlie, you're on.
My name is Charles Nesson. I'm a professor here and been associated with the Berkman Center. If you are going to develop as a nation, you need to develop your people. Education, we think of as the best strategy to bridge the digital divide. It is a resource that can be transmitted without the necessity of investing huge amounts of money. I want to introduce to you Mr. Wayne Marshall. Wayne Marshall is the man here on my right. He will be followed by Rebecca Nesson. And the third party listed here is the man who is pointing the camera at us. And that is actually part of the strategy that we're trying to unfold. And perhaps we can explain that when we get to it.
So I've been using the computer to make music for a while. And I recently started to teach other people how to use it in the same way that I do. And I use this program for a number of reasons. One, it's really powerful and really flexible, and I can actually use it to make fairly professional sounding music. It's also quite user friendly, and that's the hook of it. What it allows you to do is edit in real time and listen to what you're doing, and it gives you a nice visual interface. So what this does is gives you a number of channels. Each channel contains a sound. So, for example, here at the top we have a kick drum. Sounds like that. And so you can put a kick drum in the timeline here and get it going. And it'll just cycle around. You can listen to the sound as you go. And then you can add other sounds. You can add a snare drum. And these are some of the basic elements to most music, you know, 100% or so popular music has kick drums and snare drums. And I always tell kids that. There's some basic things to learn. If you basically put a drum on every beat like that, that gives you a basic beat. What you can then do from there is, depending on what kind of music you want to make, what genre you want to make, you can, you know, slow down the beat. So if we wanted to turn this into like a techno beat or a house beat, we could slow it down to about 120 beats per minute, add a couple more kick drums, add a couple cymbals. You know, you've got something like that. But most of the kids I teach actually want to make rap or hip-hop. So there we have to slow it down a little bit more. Somewhere between 80 and 110 beats per minute will give you hip-hop, depending on how loping or charging ahead you want to be. And we need to remove some of these drums, make it a little bit more simple. Add some more cymbals, maybe. And then once you've got a basic thing like that, that's like a basic hip-hop beat. And I show kids that how easy it is to change it quite profoundly. So if I move this kick drum here and I move it over just a bit, it suddenly changes to that. You know, you feel the difference there, and you can watch it as you go and change it. So from there, it's all about finding a pattern you like, you know? This is Jamaica we're talking about, so you want to know how to make dancehall reggae, which is actually quite similar to hip-hop. All we have to do is put the drums in the right places. So I'm gonna keep this basic setup again. Let me remove that, change that bass a bit. Now I'm going to move these snares over just a tad. Add another couple kick drums. and then you've got a reggae beat.
Jamaica has a wonderful history of creativity. Bob Marley electrified the world. The Heart of They Come electrified the world. They haven't really been as big as they could have been in the last couple of decades, but they understand this as a vehicle of development, and the potential is definitely there for their future.
Right now, if you go to a hotel and you turn on your TV, there are 20 stations, 19 of them are American, and one is a Jamaican copy of an American station.
Yep.
Right? The goal for me would to have Jamaica become an exporter of media, a consumer within its own environment and an exporter.
I also have the job of bringing it all together onto some websites. So the basic scheme of our project is that we're going to be setting up websites with people who are the administrators of the computer labs or the teachers in some of the schools in Kingston Parish and Portland Parish in Jamaica, using the SkyBuilders web development software, which is what this site is built on. SkyBuilders is an amazingly powerful, database-backed, totally open source web development setup with which I and a teacher in a school in Jamaica could easily set up a website for a school that could have all sorts of stuff going on in a matter of hours, and that teacher could be prepared to be the administrator of that site in perpetuity without a lot of trouble.
And then
it would cost the school zero, nothing. SkyBuilders is completely free and completely open source, and SkyBuilders has actually donated a server for Jamaica to use. So the education ministry in Jamaica and maybe the technology ministry have the job of getting some space at the monopoly cable provider for our server. Cable and wireless. Oh, yes, so cable and wireless hopefully will house a server for us. I would be there for 6 months to be training some people to continue to help them. Actually, we've already sent a trainer down there and who has trained a couple of Jamaicans, a woman named Cherise Williams in particular, who runs a computer repair company down there. And she's turned out to be a great SkyBuilders trainer, just with a very small amount of training so far. And is already quite capable of helping the teachers support the websites.
Computer Repair Center, we have a training component. Computer Repair Center is an organization that has technicians in every parish.
Yes.
So that's how we'll be facilitating the teaching of schools in every parish.
Okay.
We're going to be starting the main training here, and then for the technicians, for computer repair technicians, and they're going to be teaching schools in their parishes.
So these are the computers.
Here are the computers that we're going to set up and network and run the SkyBuilders timelines. We'll have people building websites and communicating all over the world. It's just a wonderful experience. This is going to be this is what the library looks like now, but we'll be making sure a great library is here as a resource for the community. It's just a very exciting moment.
Yes, I think getting the taste keen is the main priority.
Yeah. We want our community comfortable in our new lab.
Hi, I'm Dawn Vaz. I'm in a very supportive role where the technical aspect is concerned. But I'm here really to learn more about the, you know, with the SkyBuilders tool.
SkyBuilders right? Jamaica, the website is what is going to facilitate all the teachings along all over Jamaica.
The model that we pursue is not someone sitting at a screen and learning. That's the first image that comes to people's mind when they think of internet education. Learning takes place best when it's face-to-face. Its essential quality is a stimulus, an organized form of response, feedback of that response in an environment that integrates it and somehow responds to it. And so the essence of education is really the establishment of a feedback loop. When you think about feedback loops, You can think about them as taking place in a classroom. You can think about them as taking place in a school. You can think about them as taking place in a country. You can think about them taking place in the environment of the world.
But we've put you in an awkward position almost. Not, I didn't mean to do it, but almost as this sort of check on Charlie and Wayne and Becca's sort of enthusiasm for this project and kind of a, someone in an, almost a negative position.
I just want to begin by saying, I mean, I'm of course familiar with this project, and really I think that a lot of the ideas that these guys are putting forth are exactly the kinds of ideas that forward-thinking folks like ourselves might think are great ideas. I think that whether you're talking about, I mean, there's definitely a demand for education in general that's in the developing world, and people are actually willing to pay for it. If you might have seen some of those figures in that Dominican report that you read. There's a demand for fun tools. I mean, kids in particular like to have fun. They want to play games. They want to express themselves with music and art and other things. Kids are not, generally speaking, super psyched about learning Microsoft Word. If you try to, you put them in a room and you try to teach them about, this is technology, isn't it nifty? This is Adobe Acrobat. I don't know how many kids are going to get really psyched about
the
that.
All whizzing bacon.
Exactly. So, and I think that what you, I mean, that sort of the challenge that, I mean, what Charlie, what these guys are all saying is rethink education. And sort of, if you read the article, the Mitch Resnick article about sort of digital fluency and the idea of a creative society and giving people the technology tools to create and to learn what they want to learn, to find out what they need to find out, and rethinking how you do education, as sort of Charlie was just advocating, that's where we want to go. Unfortunately, if you know real-world experience is any indicator, that's a it's a tough place to get to.
I have become convinced, you know, by Charlie and Beck and others, that maybe, see, entertainment may be a really viable export for these places. I mean, Jamaica. Jamaican music is seriously around the world. When you go in South Africa, Jamaican bars are a big deal. Okay? Now, somehow that hasn't really yet maybe enriched Jamaicans effectively, but that's, you know, somehow I think that's, you know, that this is a very, very viable thing in a knowledge economy, that entertainment is a real thing.
I think the question is, are we going with music because music is a great way to get people in and playing? And, you know, I mean, I suspect a lot of people who've gotten technologically literate have gotten in from gaming.
You're going to say, look, this works. You know, these kids were jerking around on Fruity Loops, and look at them now. I mean, they started five businesses. They're doing this, whatever. The economic competitiveness of your country is going through the roof.
Music's really fun, and it's a good way to get in there. But I'm not convinced that that's necessarily going to lead to a product. Now, if you guys are going to follow Jim's argument, then I would argue that you should also be helping people set up a record label. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to do mm-hmm. entrepreneurship classes around this, and you're going to help people yeah. figure out how to sell and market the music, yeah, I'm probably more supportive of the idea than I am of it as sort of a pure education, let's invite people into it. But I guess I'm going to throw it back to you, Charlie. I mean, is that part of the game? Is this pure education? Or is this education with the notion that this is part of Jamaica's economic development strategic advantage, is that it has an exportable creative culture?
Before the record company makes the money on the label, they've got to break a star. And breaking the star is actually the thing that is going to be the trigger to a measure of success. When that happens, people will know, all right, this will work.
That's the part of the philosophy behind the .org page right now is that it's a collaborative space. It is, in effect, a Creative Commons. And, in fact, these are shared materials.
Will they be licensed under Creative Commons, in fact?
I'd like to do that. Yes, yeah. I'd like to make that kind of an automatic facet.
You have the secretary of the Creative Commons Corporation up there. Well, we can help you with that.
Good. But this is kind of that this openness is built into the idea of creation itself and of intellectual property itself. So.
The idea with these websites is that they will become homes for the various types of technology projects that could be going on in the school. So maybe not every kid is going to become a musician. Maybe some of them want to start a newspaper. Some of them want to learn to do some kind of art or animation that can go online. Ideally, we would have sister projects to the music education project that will come in after we get a little way through the pilot. So this page right here, the WayneandWax.org page, I made pretty much yesterday using the SkyBuilders tools. And then Wayne, who is not a tech person, was able to follow this little set of instructions that I posted up here, which just comes up in a pop-up window, but we won't go into it, and build his own homepage on this site. not knowing any HTML or anything about the web before he did it, could follow the instructions. And then when he wants to edit it, and this is, I think, the most amazing thing about SkyBuilders, is that there's this SkyWriter link at the bottom of the page, and you can click it, and you have a, you know, you're a certain user, so you log in. I'll log in as me because I don't know Wayne's login.
Can you edit Wayne's page as Becca?
I can because I'm an administrator, but in general, one wouldn't be able to. This is the HTML for Wayne's page. If you happen to know HTML, you could edit it right there and save it. Of course, many people might not want to learn all of the HTML to do it, and for that, there's a link up here that says WYSIWYG, and it will pop up a window that shows you the page looking like the page. It stands for what you see is what you get, and it's a graphical editor, much like Microsoft Word or something like that, where you can look right at the page. So if we wanted to add a new thing for these songs made at the Morse School, we could just type that right into the page, and if I could type, and just do file, save, and exit. And if you highlight something, you can make a link right there. And if you go to manage files, you can get into Wayne's homepage. This is Wayne's directory right here with all of these songs, and he can just click upload if he's in the directory, not on a file, and upload that new MP3 that he's got on his hard drive and then link that right in. So the idea is to start off with that we'll have a users community where people will each have their home page and be able to upload their music, and then there can be some collaboration between them and some setup of it, and we've built a commons for the music.
Just to be specific, one of the things we're doing on the trip we're going down there to do is we're actually forming a Harvard-Jamaica association, basically a Harvard alumni association in Jamaica. The patron of this enterprise is Edward Siaga, who is the former prime minister of Jamaica, who happens to be the oldest Harvard graduate in Jamaica. And he got his start in the world as a music label developer and has just built a digital music studio in Kingston. So somehow this all, we hope, fits together into a pattern that will produce something.
Andrew,
I'm trying to figure out the extent to which Wayne and Charlie's and Becca's idea is sort of an end to itself. If we can just get a bunch of kids having fun with this music, like, that's a good day's work, you know? End of story.
Up, stay strong.
GeoCities, which is what I build with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, at GeoCities they give you just these similar tools to build with, but this is excellent because it's taking that to another level.
Okay.
It's taking it to a higher level. So-